All right. Good morning, everybody. I have no idea what's going on. Good morning, everybody. Today is Tuesday, March 10th, 2015. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules here on UCY.TV. I am not sure why my bumper didn't play or why it only played like the tiniest little bit, but I think somehow I missed turning my bumper back on, and then maybe the satellite opened up for my show, and that's why it faded out. Oh well, shortened version. At least I had cowbell to get me started. Today it is awesome for being a Tuesday. We have been on day number, maybe it's four now, maybe close to five, above freezing. Yes, we went 4 months where we never hit 32, and now we are at, I think it's day number four. It's 35 and overcast here. And as I look at the map, it looks like there is a large amount of liquid precipitation headed our way, which, like I said, if this 5 feet of snow melts slowly, we'll be fine. If it doesn't, then we're going to have problems. But a nice, slow, warm rain would be good for me. So, all right, guys, I am not really sure where to even go. I've been having some difficulty over the last few days. I've reached that mental wall that I've hit a few times now where I just don't have anything to say. Nothing really interests me. I don't care about who is, whose scandal it is today. But a couple things caught my attention, so I guess we'll pull on those threads and see where they go. Judge Napolitano, I just saw just before I connected, came out with some commentary in regards to the Hillary Clinton email scandal, and I don't know if anyone's been paying attention to that, but we talked a lot about net neutrality and the FCC and spying and the internet and the NSA. I mean, we did days on that stuff. So this kind of ties in there because here's the interesting thing. As these politicians are passing laws and allowing things such as the NDAA to continue and be renewed and our civil liberties be taken away and every ounce of privacy be lost for us, we have then, of course, the other people, like the Clintons, the Bushes, the royalty, quote unquote, who apparently don't have to follow the same rules. So Hillary Clinton got totally busted, and I don't know if this is going to turn into a big scandal or not, but I know that, and honestly, like I said, I really hadn't cared much about any of this at all, so I didn't dig in deeply. But I'd seen something a few days ago where she, I don't know if she was responsible for, or they had a trial for somebody that had been under her that had mishandled their emails. They were calling her a hypocrite because here on the flip side, she was doing the same thing. The fact that she worked for the State Department and had, oh, hold on 1 second. I got to put this out. She worked for the State Department and she had all of her email offsite, not even at an internet service provider, which I don't know. I'd probably be a little worried about that as well because it's just sitting on the public cloud. But she had a server at her own house that somebody was maintaining. And there was a video. Let's see if we can find this because this actually made me kind of laugh. Nothing makes me laugh too much, but this was pretty good. Yeah, let me see if I can connect. Not me, myself. Yeah, so this morning I was going to get up and do my coffee, chill, get myself mentally awake before the show because it makes it so much easier. And it was 10 minutes before it was time to go live, so please excuse me. I don't remember my name. There we go. Jules. It's always so hard. All right, here we go. All right. Okay, this video that came out yesterday was like the goofiest infographic I ever saw. But it was, I mean, for anyone who doesn't understand what it would take to set up an email server, and it's definitely something that would take me some definite brain power to do, leads you to believe that there are other people that are complicit in this. All right, hold on.
You probably heard by now, Hillary Clinton never had a State Department email address. She only had a personal one. One so personal that she kept an email computer server registered to her home in Chappaqua, New York. Why would she do that? We'll get to that later. Let's start with how. First, you buy a computer. Then you do some insanely difficult network programming. You need to download special software and start tinkering with your computer software ports, like the simple mail transfer protocol. Then you need to connect to something called a localhost database, rename the configuration files, open them up with a text editor, and start changing values, entering the proper domain name, SMTP server address, IMAP server address, you get the idea. Or you use a data center. Either way, unless Clinton is a secret tech guru, she probably didn't do this on her own. Two kinds of people who want a private email server: IT geeks, and the people who worry about governments and companies spying on their mail. When you sign up for personal email accounts, your messages are normally kept on computer servers at giant data centers owned by companies like Google and Yahoo. The same is true for your work email. In Clinton's case, her emails should have lived on computer servers at the State Department, except they didn't. Now to the why. It's more private. That's it. Anyone who wants Clinton's emails will have to go through her first.
You know, and considering everything that happened, hold on, I gotta kill the connection. Considering everything that happened in Libya, and I mean, the woman was Secretary of State for the United States of America, and she did not have her email at the State Department. That should be very worrisome. I mean, my first thought when I looked at this as a network engineer, I was like, holy shit, whoever allowed that to happen should be fired. That is one of the biggest security breaches that I've ever seen that's come out public. And with all of this, oh my God, we're going to be hacked, ISIS terrorists on the internet. You know, the fact that your Secretary of State wasn't even an oops. Wasn't like she could play dumb like Lois Lerner or plead the fifth. She was the Secretary of State. And with all the effort it takes to set up an email server, it's not like it was an accident. Okay. So, you know, in chat yesterday, everyone was talking about probably going to be Jeb versus Hillary. And I mean, talk about painful choice, painful non-choices. And I mean, it's just such a shell game and a joke. I mean, these people, first of all, they keep recycling the same families over and over. But then, you know, they give you this choice that isn't a choice. And then it's the same criminal cabal that was in there the last time anyway. So it doesn't really even matter. And when you look at Jeb's history, I mean, how come nobody is paying attention to the fact that when the election was rigged and Bushy Jr. won again, I don't know if it was the first election or the second one, that Jeb Bush was governor in the state that apparently had the issues with the election machines. Hmm. And then someone pointed out in chat yesterday, they're like, hey, that's not the same Jeb Bush that was like head of security at the Trade Center when 9/11 happened, was it? And everyone's like, yep, it is. So I don't know. Correct me if that was wrong or not, but I didn't know that. I have not independently verified that myself, but I did know that there was a Bush in charge of security at the World Trade Center when 9/11 happened. I did not realize that it potentially could have been Jeb Bush. So what short memories we have. And then, of course, we have Hillary. I mean, let's go back to the 90s with her and Bill down in Arkansas. Arkansas, the scariest fucking place I've ever been, Little Rock. Sorry for those of you who might live there. I almost disappeared in a human trafficking ring in Arkansas with my car broken down. Told you guys bits and pieces of that story. It was horrifying. And it was when he was governor. You know, you've seen the lists of mysterious deaths of the people who've been involved with the Clintons, or bodyguards, or people who knew something who had mysterious accidents. You know, Hillary then, of course, was right in the middle of the Benghazi scandal until she whoops. And we called this one, tripped and hit her head. And then she came out when they started having the hearings and said she had amnesia. And now we mysteriously discover that where she kept all of her correspondence during that time that the Libyan embassy went down and Stevens died and the whole drug gun running to create ISIS in the Middle East happens. Whoops. All the emails aren't on the Department of State web server. They happen to be at Hillary Clinton's house. Isn't that convenient? And I'm sure the rabbit hole goes way deeper. You know, we now have this Ministry of Truth forming, and it was Bill Clinton that called for that right after Fukushima, which, by the way, the anniversary, four-year anniversary, is tomorrow. So we might have to do a Fukushima day. I should hit Kevin up, too, see if he wants to do an extra day just for the anniversary. I can hook him up to come on tomorrow live as well. All right, so I see another story come out, and this is why I'm dealing with the story, because I had a lot of news on it. This was out of Drudge. He posted a story from BuzzFeed yesterday. Facebook conversation on Hillary Clinton is getting more and more negative. Oh, no. Of course, that's something that gets my attention. Data shared by Facebook exclusively with BuzzFeed News shows more people talking about Hillary Clinton after the email scandal hit. But even before the news broke, the tone had changed. All right. Facebook's analysis. Notice how they say Facebook's analysis. They're analyzing all that data that's being fed in there. That's a big project. That is a big AI project, that whole FedBook tool. I mean, not only are they giving law enforcement access to it, but they're giving all kinds of universities access to the raw data in their sociology departments, in their artificial intelligence labs, and they are using real-time mass human interaction to help build all kinds of applications, tools, and knowledge. So, I don't know. Social media is definitely a double-edged sword. But all right, let's get into this a little bit. And then I have a treat for us later. Facebook's analysis of the sentiment of users talking about Hillary Clinton shows a gradual but marked downturn in the tone of conversation about the presumptive Democratic candidate as the 2016 campaign approaches. I personally, with Chelsea having a baby, and I don't know, she has to have had that kid by now, I think Hillary's going to decide she wants to be grandma. Grandma! And if she hasn't yet, and the baby gets born, and the scandal breaks stuff wide open, I have a feeling she's just going to toss in the towel and be grandma galore and let Chelsea run. I'm just seeing now, too, right down the side edge here, there's a bunch of recommended stories on this BuzzFeed, and here we go. Chelsea Clinton, quote unquote, absolutely open to running for office. So that, I believe, would be plan B. And remember, Chelsea had gotten a job working as an NBC, I believe it was, NBC news anchor, which then she quit the job. It was $600,000 a year. She quit that job. I mean, isn't she married to some real rich Wall Street mogul, I believe? So she really didn't need the $600,000 a year job. She needs to rub some elbows, learn how the propaganda machine works to get her ready and groomed to take mommy's place. And I, you know what? I'm gonna throw some money out on that pony. Because I really see that coming. If shit, I mean, this scandal, like I said, when the email scandal first broke for Clinton, I was like, nah, another stupid, you know, Lois Lerner, we'd been through all that. I mean, that's just so ridiculous. I saw a story the other day about that whole Lois Lerner story. We followed that pretty closely when it first happened with Gowdy doing the Senate hearings, and Lois kept pleading the fifth, and then she'd try and say stuff in her defense, and she just totally screwed the whole thing up. But as far as the emails were concerned, that whoops, they destroyed, whoops, they couldn't get their hands on. They finally found them. They had been archived off-site like 2 miles away, so whoops, we found them now. But I saw a story the other day when they destroyed the hard drive in the computer that had the emails on it for Lois Lerner originally. They got the hard drive back. So they said, well, maybe we can recover some information. And I don't know. I mean, government hard drives, I had done technology for a long time. And one of the things we had looked at a corporate level was how to keep information safe on machines that were no longer used. And I mean, you can always erase a hard drive, but just know that your digital footprint never goes away. And even if you reformat a hard drive, any digital forensic group that got their hands on that hard drive would literally be able to recover every bit or byte of data on that hard drive, all your personal information. It doesn't matter if the hard drive is erased. It doesn't matter if the hard drive is formatted. Really, the only way to make sure that your data is forever gone off of a drive like that is to literally take the platters. And if you've ever opened a hard drive, it looks like a record player. It's a platter. It's got a little arm with a needle on it, pretty much. And the platter spins around. There's multiple platters, actually. But the platters spin around, and the needles play the platters, and you got zeros and ones on there instead of, you know, little divots for music. But the only real way, I mean, if you go to, like, a corporate data destruction service, the only way to guarantee that data is forever gone is to literally shred those platters. And so they put those platters through a big industrial, like, I mean, you know how like a paper shredder works where it's got all the things that bzzz? Well, this is like a metal shredder. Meow. It just shreds those platters. Well, I was just reading the other day, somehow the drive was not completely destroyed. So I don't know. They must have cheaped out and gone to some service that maybe just uses sledgehammers or something. And they got their hands on the quote-unquote destroyed drive. And they had said that they were working on recovering the information, and then said, no, we didn't find anything, and dumped the drive again. Well, it ends up, the story I was looking at yesterday, ends up the investigator, the IRS investigator that was looking at Lois Lerner's hard drive to see if they could recover the data after the drive was quote-unquote destroyed, happened to be legally blind. And not that there's, you know, I mean, I'm not mocking out anybody's disability. We have Chuck, the blind JFK researcher, that's his handle. I mean, I know Chuck has definite difficulty seeing, but what I'm saying is if I wanted to do search and rescue or data forensics or try to find something that is unfindable, I probably wouldn't put somebody with a visual problem onto this case doing some hard visual type searching. Like, it doesn't make sense. And, you know, the person came back and said they didn't find anything. Well, it makes you wonder, did they not find anything because they have difficulty seeing, or did they not find anything because there was no one there, nothing there? And it just adds another level to this incompetence that has happened all across the board in the federal government. I mean, every scandal that we dig into where they get caught, it's just dumber and dumber bumping into each other, isn't it? So, I mean, There's this double-edged view that I have. Like, we see this all-seeing, all-knowing federal government, NSA, alphabet agency that's just spying on everything and collecting every bit of data. Yet, when things come in a public light, they always look like such a bunch of buffoons. And it makes you wonder how they even get out of their own way at times. But is that intentional? And I almost think that the buffoonery that they show on the public side of the fence might be propaganda. I mean, there are some things that we see, and I don't know, I can't think of anything in particular, but like this, the visually impaired researcher who's trying to locate data on a destroyed hard drive, that almost seems like somebody decided to make that up because it was a good story. You know what I mean? There are stories that are out there that, as long as, hey, they're good enough for the public and they believed them, ha, they went with that one. I mean, they're like fibs. Remember when you were a kid and you'd lie to your mother? And when the first time you lied, you know, you made it like a little lie, but you add a little bit of creativity and flair. And as the lies went on, you'd add a little more flair. And, you know, and making it a little more creative with detail, you found she believed you more. It sounded more realistic. But then it gets to a point where you've made up so much bullshit that it then sounds like this fantasy book that you made up that isn't true, and it gives you away. That's almost the way it seems to me. All right, let's get back. We got off on Lois Lerner, and I really didn't mean to. Just that new chunk of the story about the hard drive and them being able to recover it and still not finding anything caught my attention. But let's get back to this Hillary project. So the sheriff conversation about Clinton that was positive dipped from 57% during one period to 52 and then to 50 by February. Do we really care, though? I really don't care about Facebook sentiment. I mean, I like the fact that her popularity is dropping like a rock. But, you know, here's something that a friend of mine brought up to me the other day, too. If you're so anti-Hillary Clinton, then what's your choice going to be? Jeb Bush? I was like, I don't want either of them to be a choice. Well, sad fact of the matter is that you're probably not going to have much of a choice. So pick one. So, again, we're back to that lesser of two evils, which I really, really dislike being forced to pick two people that I dislike. I don't know. All right, guys. So, hold on. We're going to get back to the judge. I got Judge Nappy. Judge Nappy lined up here. Where'd he go? It's too early. Here we go. Napolitano retained and concealed 100% of all the documents. This is in discussion over Hillary Clinton. So let's hear what the judge has to say, because I think Hillary is going to have some big fat legal problems coming. I mean, what she did just from a corporate level is absolutely out of bounds. But the fact that she was one of the highest levels in our government with access to classified information and in the middle of a scandal at the time to discover this, I hope they go after her. All right, here we go. Maybe.
Let's try it.
Now there's a commercial. At least it was a good commercial. Those were great.
Tonight with Judge Andrew Napolitano on questions of whether the secretary is ignoring the law and his reaction to this remark from President Obama this weekend.
Mr. President, when did you first learn that Hillary Clinton used an email system outside the U.S. government for official business while she was Secretary of State?
The same time everybody else learned it through news reports.
Were you disappointed?
Let me just say that Hillary Clinton is and has been an outstanding public servant. She was a great Secretary of State for me. I'm glad that Hillary is instructed that those emails that had to do with official business need to be disclosed.
Joining me now, Judge Napolitano. So he is glad that Hillary has instructed that the emails about official business need to be disclosed.
Apparently, the president has the same misunderstanding of federal law that his former Secretary of State does, because the federal statute, the Preservation of Records Act, written in 1950 and enhanced during her husband's presidency and signed by him, requires that documents and records used by high-ranking government officials belong to the government. And when you leave office, the ex-official can ask the government for personal documents back. She did the opposite. She retained and concealed 100% of the documents with which she dealt while she was Secretary of State in 48 months. She decided what was governmental and kept what she didn't want to reveal. That is the exact opposite of the premise of the law that she swore to uphold and the president swore to uphold.
And he's still okay?
I want to stop for 1 second. So how ironic that Bill Clinton was the one who signed the law that required the email retention. So don't, you know, she pleads ignorance and puts that smile on. She is absolutely full of shit. And doesn't it worry you that your quote-unquote president did not know that one of his highest levels of his cabinet members in his administration was breaking the law in his government, and he didn't find out until the news reports? What the hell is that? All right, a little bit more.
With it, I'm glad that Hillary has instructed that her emails about official business need to be disclosed. Well, she doesn't get, she doesn't, at this point, should she be getting to instruct anything?
No, the government decides what it keeps and what is revealed. Mrs. Clinton, because she concealed all of her documents, a felony, from the government for which she worked, she is deciding what to reveal. You're going to interview in a few minutes Congressman Gowdy. Mm-hmm. He subpoenaed her records. He does not know if she gave him everything he subpoenaed.
That's right.
He has to.
Now, again, let's stop, because Gowdy, he's the same one who is subpoenaing the records for Lois Lerner in regards to the IRS scandal that they pulled all this bullshit on. So don't think that this shell game is an isolated incident. There's some major dirty shit going on.
Rely on her good faith. What good faith? Mm-hmm. She controls the documents, and the statute says the government controls the documents. I was very disappointed in Bill Plant. Even though we know him, he's a longtime a TV guy. His son is a producer here. But
interviewed
he should have.
President Obama. Then.
Correct. He should have.
What? Bill Clinton? Did he just say Bill Clinton's son is a producer here? First of all, I didn't know Bill Clinton had a son. Did he really say that? And then there, and this is the unknown son. What is this, Monica Lewinsky's son? I don't know. I didn't know Bill Clinton had a son. Wait, I need to back that up. I think that's what he just said. Hold on. All right, let's hear this again. Oh, I hope it plays.
Documents, and the statute says the government controls the documents. I was very disappointed in Bill Plant. Even though we know him, he's a longtime a TV guy. His son is a producer here.
But interviewed he should have President Obama. Then.
Correct. He should have followed up and said, Mr. President, are you concerned at all that your Secretary of State had classified materials on her server and kept them from the government? Mr. President, are you going to prosecute your Secretary of State for placing classified documents in a non-secure environment, just as you prosecuted General Petraeus for doing the same thing?
Oh, it was Petraeus. That's who it was. Petraeus is the one who just got, and Petraeus pleaded guilty too. He had the honey. The girlfriend and all that classified info was apparently exposed. Yeah, I don't know if he was talking about Bill Clinton. I'm wondering if he was talking about the person who was in this clip that they were showing that interviewed the president in regards to Hillary. I don't know. We'll have to look into that. I don't. Bill Clinton does not have a son that I have ever heard. I think he was referring to that reporter. All right, here, let's continue.
I didn't hear any of those questions.
What have you done to satisfy yourself that she did not do that? Is it? Are we just relying on her word at this point?
Well, apparently he's done very little to satisfy himself, because since he made those statements to Bill Plant, he sent his secretary, his press secretary, Josh Earnest, down into the press room earlier today to say, Well, the president really knew she used the private email all along. He just didn't realize there was a legal problem with it until the media told him.
He didn't know it was like exclusive. It was exclusive. He didn't really look into all that. I want to ask you about this. You'll be happy to know that some folks on the left have pronounced that Hillary Clinton did nothing wrong legally. James Carville and Andrea Mitchell have decided that there is no problem legally with what Hillary Clinton did. Watch.
She turned over. You agreed it was totally legal.
I say, James, it was legal.
There was no illegality involved.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's fine. Now we've established that. All right.
Okay.
She committed, probably, because I don't know what was in her heart, several criminal acts. When she became Secretary of State, she promised to follow the Federal Records Act. She didn't. When she left the Secretary of State, she signed a statement saying, all of my documents have been returned to the government. They haven't. Instead of the documents being in the possession of the government, she concealed them. Instead of the documents being in a secure location, she had them in a server. We don't know where the server was. We don't know if it was in her barn, on her estate in Chappaqua, New York, or in a computer company in Texas, which has since, where she said it was, which has since denied it had her.
And if she deleted anything, then we're in a new level of problems.
And the good Congressman Gowdy may never know whether she deleted anything unless he can get a search warrant and a bunch of FBI agents to serve it.
Oh. Holy shit! Now, I gotta tell you, so I said I've had trouble finding something to get my attention over the last couple days, and this seemed like another boring blah, blah, blah. Like, who cares? But I gotta tell you, I love the judge. I wish he wasn't on Fox, but it's all right. It's the one time that I'll venture over to Fox is to watch the judge give a commentary. And holy shit! I mean, how could she deny that the fact that Bill Clinton was the one responsible for the law that she is now breaking, the laws that she is now breaking? There's absolutely no way that she could feign ignorance on this. Now, I saw, too, right underneath this clip, that was from the 4th. Oh, no, actually, that one was from today. But there's one here from the 5th where he talks about her potential charges. So to dovetail just on the end of that, I just want to hear this. If you guys don't mind, hold on. Oh, I hope they bust her. But again, like I said, then we're going to be stuck with Jeb. So then what? But this is, I mean, this kind of gives me evil pleasure. I have to admit that. It's making me smile. That doesn't happen too often. Oh, we got a commercial. These commercials are so annoying. I don't know who the judge is on with in this one, but let's see. Hopefully it's not O'Reilly. Oh, please don't make me puke.
So Hillary Clinton under fire for using her personal email account to run the State Department. Noted constitutional scholar Jonathan Turley says that could cause her some big problems. Here he is.
The idea that a cabinet member would create her own system is pretty extraordinary, and it's also pretty dangerous. This is the type of thing that sends most security officers into orbit. This certainly runs against the grain of the federal law. It's much more difficult to comply with those laws when you're creating your own system and allowing your own people to manage it.
Remarkable. Judge Andrew Napolitano, Fox News senior judicial analyst, very busy man on this story over the past several days. So you feel that she faces potentially two criminal investigations.
Yes. This is beyond extraordinary and beyond dangerous. This is potentially criminal. The lesser of the two is the General Petraeus situation. The general agreed to plead guilty for keeping classified secrets in a non-secure, non-government-approved venue. In the general's case, a desk drawer in his home. In Mrs. Clinton's case, the server in her home, non-government-secured and non-government-approved, classified secrets there. That's a
Let me jump in there then. So in the Petraeus case, because they caused no harm,
right,
the keeping of those documents, that helped him to get a more reasonable settlement in that case.
Yes.
We don't know whether or not the possession of anything that Hillary had caused anyone harm. Of course, the Benghazi question will be raised
correct
there in
but
a big way.
We do know that she must have had classified secrets. I mean, she, as the Secretary of State, there are four levels of security clearances. she and the president and General Petraeus and the Secretary of Defense, people of that nature, have the highest level. But the other problem that she faces is far more serious, and that is a conspiracy to deflect documents, to conceal documents from government computers by keeping them from the government computers. That exposes her to 3 years in jail per document.
Did you hear what he just said? That exposes her to 3 years in jail per documents. And how many emails do you think you generated in 4 years as Secretary of State? And you know what? I'm going to tell you, I see someone in chat going, oh, maybe this is a distraction from what else is going on. Well, of course it is. But guess what? I don't really care about anything at the moment. So this is a great distraction. It's giving me amusement.
And a conviction also exposes her to disqualification from holding office in the future under the United States of America.
So the problem is anyone ever going to get their hands on these documents? They've been subpoenaed, but they're on a personal server, as we know. So will we ever know?
Well, you just ran a clip of Greta interviewing Congressman Gowdy. He's right. When you subpoena, you don't know if you get everything. Unless you send the FBI on a search warrant, as they did to General Petraeus,
right. You
won't know if you get everything.
Holy shit, let's send the FBI SWAT team to go kick down Hillary's door. I think that's what we should do. That would be pretty awesome. You know, I mean, here's the thing. Talk about a big, fat bunch of hypocrites. You know, for all the turning around and make the people who are calling bullshit on all this look like the ones who are in the wrong, for turning around, making anyone who uses the internet and, you know, who digs up information as being some sort of loop-de-loo to lock down and make sure that the only truth that's being put out there is the truth that you want us to see. Well, why is that? Because of shit like this? I mean, Hillary Clinton has been in it with her hands in the cookie jar since the freaking 90s and beyond. I mean, like I said, the early 90s, they were in the governor's mansion in Arkansas and worked their way up. And all the people that, you know, happened to fall dead in their trail. Then they were in the White House. Then she was Secretary of State. You know, now she's aiming to become president. And like I said, I would be very surprised if she even goes forward with that, unless they can sweep this under the rug. And I don't see how that's going to be possible. I mean, maybe they can work some black mojo magic and make everyone go, privacy, schmivacy, classified, smashified. What does it matter? Hillary's a Clinton. So she could break the law. 3 years in jail for every document she held offsite. I feel confident she'd make a good president and keep us safe. Because you know what? The FCC is going to make sure that none of that information gets out of there. I mean, I don't know. When I just look at this, this should be a slap in the face to anyone who stood up and said, oh, you people are nuts. This is blatant in your face. I don't follow your fucking rules that I'm going to impose on everybody else.
Upside of this is, unless somebody prosecutes Mrs. Clinton, these legal matters are hypothetical only. If somebody prosecutes her, they are grave for her political future.
So that server is safe then? That server will not be taken into custody by the FBI. It will not be investigated unless somebody is in the middle of an active prosecution.
Yes, correct. Now, the premise of the law is the government keeps the documents. When you leave office, you ask for your personal ones, and the government decides which are personal and which it will keep. She turned that premise on its head. She kept the documents. She decided which ones were governmental, gave them to the government, and kept her own.
She's saying in the tweet that she sent out last night, late in the evening, she said, I'm encouraging, I want the State Department to release all my emails. And part of their justification is that every time she emailed someone in the State Department, she emailed to a State Department address. So she's saying all of that was captured on the State Department files because it went to somebody there.
As Brett Baer just said to you a few minutes ago, she doesn't need the State Department to release the emails. She has the server. She has the emails. She can release them. She won't do that.
This is a story that is fucking over. Judge
Apollo. Oh, no, hold on.
Expertise on this time and time again, I have a feeling. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
So there you go.
I get it. Undo this connection.
So it should be pretty interesting. And what's so great is that a couple nights ago when I was digging through working on playlists, I think I mentioned we have like 30,000 videos to sort through. I realized that we did not have a Clinton playlist. So I worked on one. I got about 50 Clinton clips now between Hillary, Bill, and Chelsea. I don't know. I mean, of course, it's a big distraction. Everything is a big distraction. I mean, the end game we talked about for 7 weeks here on the show. So if you missed any of that, go to youtube.com/UCYTV and find the Before the First Cup playlist and then go back about 7 weeks and hit play. And in about 2 weeks of listening, you'll catch up. I mean, what's being hidden is the fact that the biological life on this planet is being extinguished quickly and is being done intentionally and is being usurped. See, Hillary doesn't care. She doesn't care at all about this. You know, she tells you that she's middle class. Well, no, she's one of the elite and she's on the list. So she's not worrying too much about anything. All right, so talk about more propaganda bullshit. So we dropped this in the chat yesterday, and I just, when I was listening to this, I could not believe the shit that was pouring out of this interview. Apparently, we must have missed it, they captured another quote-unquote terror suspect, this time in Ohio. Not sure. They asked him about how he got in contact with ISIS to become radicalized, and I don't remember if he actually came out and said it was the internet. But remember, there's this mantra going on that the internet is bad and that guns are bad and ammo is bad and anyone who uses the internet or has a gun or ammo must be well, they're trying to make the general public think now must be ISIS. They must be a terrorist. And it just took another step forward with this propaganda piece that they released over the weekend. So apparently there's some 20-something-year-old radical in Ohio that was radicalized somehow by ISIS, and he went into a gun store and he bought a gun and he bought ammo and he was going to go blow things up all in the name of ISIS. And just the way everything in this story is worded. First of all, I'm sure he must be sitting in a federal prison since the FBI caught him. He hasn't had any type of trial yet. I'm sure if it's under terror charges, he's probably under some sort of NDAA clause, right? So they could just hold him for as long as they want until they decide to try and give him some semblance of a trial if he even gets one. But it's more in their best interest to make sure that the local media, not even like CNN or some national propaganda mouth bullhorn, but a local TV station in Ohio gets somehow this exclusive tell-all interview with this new quote-unquote terrorist that they captured in Ohio. Now, come on. Some local mom-and-pop TV network gets this exclusive interview with some FBI caught ISIS terrorist who is going to wreak havoc and attack the White House and do all kinds of shit on the homeland. And then he hasn't had a trial or anything, but they get him on the phone and he's spilling all of his secrets. I mean, this, to me, when I watched this, all I could do from minute number one was start throwing the red bullshit flags all over the place, saying, man, this is to twist the public's mind. It's now twisting the public's mind to believe that, yeah, Johnny next door, look, he's a 20-year-old kid. He used to be normal. Then he grew a beard and long hair, and he went out and he bought a gun and got some ammo. And now he's involved with ISIS. Here, I want you to hear this. Oh, wait, hold on. My Skype's not connected. Let's connect. All right, here you go.
First time, right here, you are about to hear the voice of a 20-year-old American man from Ohio who said that he wanted to carry out terrorist attacks in this country and wanted to kill the president of the United States. Talking about Christopher Cornell. He was already on the FBI's radar when he was arrested back in January, and now a local television station has exclusively spoken to him in jail by phone. Take a listen to this short edited clip of their one-hour conversation.
So they got an exclusive interview with this terror suspect at the local newsroom. Like, I so totally believe that. Here we go.
The event in which I planned on Tuesday, September 20th in Washington, D.C. would have been a great attack against America. Even with my capture, its repercussions will not stop. Although it would have been a major attack against America, the events that will follow are dangerous and more enormous. Than with the Islamic State, I have connections with many brothers over there. We've been corresponding for quite some time now, actually. The FBI finally caught on these past years.
Was it their idea for you to plant pipe bombs at the Capitol and have people running outside to shoot them?
It was a mix of both of our ideas.
When did you first come in contact with them?
I won't say that in specific either.
You have to give me some insight on how somebody would go about contacting someone. How would I do that? How did you do that? Do you do that through YouTube videos?
Through encrypted messaging.
Can you give me an idea of other things that you would write on encrypted messages?
Talking about how...
I want to stop this for a second. So when... First of all, doesn't this dude have even a public defender that tells him, dude, you haven't even had a trial yet. And yeah, even though the FBI caught you, you don't want to go spewing like all your secrets out in public and admitting to everything. But apparently he has no one advising him in his best interest. But secondly, she's like getting this exclusive of him spewing all this stuff. And she asks, how did they contact you? He says, encrypted messages. Now, I just saw a story a couple days back. And this, again, is all working on the lockdown of the internet, where they were saying that on websites like eBay, apparently jihadists are putting eBay messages into posts for objects, things for sale, and they're embedding the encryption into pictures and things of that nature. And I mean, I don't know. When I thought about that, I was like, maybe it's possible. I mean, you can encrypt stuff into an image. But on the other hand, I mean, eBay doesn't fall into any of the social media categories where they're necessarily going to be scraping info. So we might as well make sure we include eBay, since people can buy things from there that maybe they aren't going to be buying online or at a local store with a credit card that we can track.
We should wage jihad in America. We should form our own groups in alliance with the Islamic State. When I say groups, I mean, you know, what would you call sleeper cells?
Raheel, how dedicated were you to carry out this plan to wage jihad in America?
I'm very dedicated. Like I said, I'm a Muslim. I'm so dedicated that I risked my life. You know, that should say a whole lot.
Stop! Did you just hear that? I mean, first of all, this dude sounds like he's reading a script. But she's like, how dedicated were you? And he says, I'm a Muslim. I risked my life. I mean, how dedicated is that? Really? I mean, if you really were like a jihadi, you wouldn't be telling people that. He'd be doing Allah Akbar and doing his you know, war cry, blah, 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 and strapping bombs to himself. Come on. This is just so full of shit. I just could not believe when I saw this clip. All right, a little bit more.
If you weren't arrested that day when you were at a gun store buying two guns and 600 rounds of ammunition, what would you have done?
What have I done? I would have took my gun. I would have put it to Obama's head. I would have pulled the trigger. Then I would unleash more bullets on the Senate and the House of Representative members. Then I would attack the Israeli embassy and various other buildings full of
Now, did you hear in that minute of audio how many dots that they've been painting all this time? They just connected. You went to the gun store. You bought two guns, 600 rounds of ammo. What would you have done with it? Well, I would have gone to the White House. I would have done this. Then I would have gone to Congress and the House and the Israeli embassy. Come on. Oh my God. All right, here we go.
Kufar, I want to wage war against those Muslims. If that's what had happened. Obama is a enemy of Allah, therefore enemy of us, of the Islamic State.
You said that the plan that you wanted to implement, and you intend to, if you ever get out, I would imagine?
Yes, inshallah, yes.
Is in retaliation for what?
The continued American aggression against our people, and the fact that America, specifically President Obama, wants to wage war against the Islamic State.
I want to hear what you think is coming.
What I think is coming? Many things. There will be indeed many, many attacks. There will be, you know, like I said, we'll raise the banner of Tunis over the Capitol. No?
So you
I'm not going to give away too much.
Were you up until January in contact with people overseas?
I won't give you that information. But I will tell you, I'm in contact with many.
How organized is...
And there's a little footer, like they're showing all these mug shots of him. And here's the other thing I don't get. If he was captured as some sort of terror ISIS suspect, why is he in the Boone County Jail? They're showing a mug shot. And I mean, maybe these were pre his arrest. But there's actually two. This one says Boone County Jail with a mugshot. The other one says Butler County Jail with a mugshot. I really hope that they didn't arrest a quote-unquote terror suspect and then put him in county lockup. But there's a ticker thing on the bottom of the screen, and there's a quotation from him. We are in every state. And yes, that is something that they need to get out there and get out there soon in everyone's psyche, that we now have terrorists sitting everywhere, every state. They could be your next door neighbor, because you better see something, say something. And did you notice that all the Department of Homeland Security public service announcements have been flowing like butter again? It's coming, people. He told you. This video only got 17 views and only one thumbs down. I mean, come on. At least for comedy's sake, it should have gotten a thumbs up. All right, here, let's hear the end of this.
The Islamic State.
But the thing is, we are indeed here in America. We're in each and every state. We're here in Ohio. We're here in Ohio. We're in every state. We're more organized than you think.
Again, that was part of an hour-long conversation between our affiliate in Ohio and Christopher Cornell, who is in jail, an American, allegedly planning to terrorize this country, as you heard him say in his own words, and claiming that ISIS is here, as he said, in every state, and as he also said, more organized than you think.
Ah, so there you go. For anyone who doubted, they're in every state, and they're more organized, and... we connected it to some 20-year-old American kid who wants firearms and some ammo. He must be a terrorist. I don't know. I just could not believe. I dropped that one into chat for you guys. I could not believe just the spewing bullshit that is coming out of mainstream. And I mean, I guess I can, but every day it just gets thicker and thicker. So I don't know. We have about a minute or two left. I'm not even sure what we should talk about, because I have tons of DARPA stuff. I guess we're going to have to hit that tomorrow. All kinds of brain chip implants, mini killer drones, digital brain libraries, cutting up brains in Google Labs. I mean, seriously. But we can't talk about that right now, because there is not enough time. So I guess I know what I can do if I can get there quick. So I told you I've been working on a Clinton playlist, and this might just peter out. Oh, yes. Come on. You know, I think they intentionally make this show difficult to do every morning. Technically speaking, this should be easy. Click, click, click. Nothing works right now. Oh, well, skip it. So I'll just blah, blah, blah until the music plays. And hopefully it will, because I took a day off yesterday. Yeah, it looks like it, actually. I took a day off yesterday, and apparently I didn't click the right checkboxes when I put everything back together. Well, where do we end up? I want to say that I expect you guys to be good in chat. I don't want to see any more infighting. I might as well take this opportunity to say that, you know, I don't know if you guys realize it, but all the shit that you say in chat, I see it. I don't do this for any reason whatsoever. There's no benefit to me. As a matter of fact, me doing the show and running the network is a detriment to me, my life, and my health. So the only thing that keeps me going is the positive attitude that you guys exude. So when I see bullshit in chat, people attacking each other, calling each other names, swearing at each other, doing all kinds of like five-year-old stuff, I gotta tell you, it really brings me down and it makes me not want to do this anymore. So it's all up to you, people. It's all up to you. So let's keep it positive so I keep doing this. Otherwise, I'm going to go do something else that makes me feel much better. All right, guys. Time is up. Kevin Blanche is up next. Fukushima 4-year anniversary still melting into the ground and spewing radiation into the air, the water, and the environment. 4 years tomorrow. I'm sure Kevin will have a lot to say about it up next. You guys have a great Tuesday, and I will catch up with you on Wednesday. It's going to be 50 degrees here tomorrow, so I'm going to get some spring fever, I think. All right, guys, everyone have an awesome Tuesday, and we will catch up with you guys later. Take care.